Welcome to the Embodied CEO Podcast. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Kirsten. We are integrative performance dietitians, entrepreneurs, and business mentors.
And we're tired of RDs not fully stepping into their power.
In this podcast, we're empowering RDs to use their fucking voice and expertise. There's not just a seat at the table for you, but you are the head of the table.
It's time to usher in a new paradigm of leadership as professionals and business owners. We're here to shake things up and have a damn good time doing it. So let's get started.
Hey, 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 welcome to another episode. Brooke, how's it going?
It is going. I'm happy because we're recording on a Friday and I love Fridays. There's something magic about them.
Fridays to me, actually Thursday's my Friday. Like I was having this conversation with my oldest this morning. She's 13 and we were having this conversation because she goes, this was yesterday, not this morning. She said, you're in such a good mood. And I said, I'm always in a good mood on Thursday. And I explained that my Thursday's my Friday because like I don't do client stuff Thursday, Friday, and definitely not the weekend. So it's like a 4-day weekend every week, even though I work Thursday, Friday. So I dig that feeling. I'm a fan of that.
I'm all about making a schedule that works well. Fridays for me are all business related. So it's all business clients, like networking, things like that. So it's fun. Maybe that's why I really like that kind of fun.
It feels like weekend though, doesn't it? Right? Because like you dig doing that stuff. Like it's not chore work. It's not overwhelming work. It's not annoying work. It's work you want to do.
And the work we do with nutrition is so sciencey and deep, it can be a little overwhelming sometimes. So it's just like ease and flow in the business. And it's like hardcore nerd research, science, numbers the other days.
Yeah, that's a solid point. I feel like it's draining sometimes because you have to be like on all the time, you know, with clients, not in a negative, but it's like you're on all the time because you're supporting people in their journey. And I feel like the business stuff is where we get to play and be creative. And, you know, like you said, it's fun. So yeah, happy Friday. I'm digging that.
Happy Friday. Not sure if this will come out on a Friday, but we're going to bring the Friday energy to you all.
It's Friday today. It's Friday energy. Let's just all live in Friday energy like all the time. I think that's just a positive. And we're about to bring down this Friday energy. Not really, because I'm going to be lit up about this. But we're going to talk today. And I love this topic so much. We've already had audio texts back and forth today because I get fired up. We're going to talk about medical professionals not knowing who we are as dietitians, and instead they go to nutritionists or they just come up with their own basic shit. We're going to talk about that today.
Okay, so where did this topic come from? I want you to share the details of this story.
So this topic is really funny because most of our topics come from you and I ranting, right? Like at each other about things that happen in our day-to-day. Like things that we're living. These are not random things. We're like, you know, isn't it crazy that this happens in the world? No, like these are things that you and I experience and live and encounter every day. So this particular topic came about from a call that I was having with a client, potential client, and she is actually in the medical world. She's a very qualified nurse practitioner, and she is married to a very qualified surgeon. She reached out to us for nutrition support, and in our conversation, she mentioned that it wasn't until a few months ago that she became aware that there's a difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian. And just to put that in perspective, she and her spouse have worked in the medical field, in the healthcare field, for more than 2 decades, side by side in hospitals with dietitians, but she was unaware that there's a difference and that you should not be going to a quote unquote nutritionist. Like she literally did not know, and my jaw hit the floor when we were having this conversation on the phone.
It's almost scary.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of people don't know exactly what we do and how it's different. I also think a lot of people associate registered dietitians with hospitals.
Yes. We need to change that though, right? But like this was the scary part to me too, because I'm kind of used to it in the wild. Right? I'm used to people in everyday interaction being clueless. I was baffled that these were medical professionals who work in hospitals where literally you have a clinical dietitian unless you work in a really shitty hospital, right? Like what hospital does not have dietitians? And her husband's a surgeon, which means his patients immediately get handed off to a dietitian because they have to, because you can't recover from surgery without nutrients. So it just baffled me. It truly was. I'm not surprised when I see it in the wild. I was very surprised and baffled that I saw it in fellow healthcare professionals. And I was like, this is something we need to dig into. This is a problem. I want to dissect why this is happening.
Yeah. I feel like we should define the difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian just briefly. We could talk about this for a whole episode. But the main difference is the requirements of education. Technically, anyone can call themselves a nutritionist. You can do a weekend cert. You can do undergrad work. You don't actually have to go get your credentials. And the amount of education that goes into actually becoming an expert on nutrition, which is what a registered dietitian is, we are the scientific experts on nutrition. We go to school, we do our undergraduate work, then we have to have a lot of supervised practice hours. And then we also have to go through and sit for an exam. A lot of us also had a master's education. So if you're listening to this and you're not an RD, that's just the surface level difference.
Surface level difference and the practicality of that, of what we actually learn in these academic settings. It's not, you know, go memorize this book on carbohydrates. I mean, that's part of, you have to understand it, but the nuance of human metabolism is incredible. And the effects of mistreating human metabolism and withholding the resources that make human metabolism go, which is not, you know, surgery, which is not IVs, which is not the medicine that you might get from your pharmacist. All of those things are vital. And I'm so grateful we have these resources in Western medicine, but the things that make metabolism go are nutrients. And enzymes dependent on nutrients. And that's where we come in. That's what we do. So it's such a wide-ranging and impactful piece of how humans function that the fact that it's not at the forefront is just insane. And I always make this comparison of, you said it earlier, anyone can become a nutritionist. And I always joke, like, my dog could be a nutritionist. I swear I'm going to actually challenge that one day and literally get my dog certified as a nutritionist online. So I can say, here's the difference. And my dog is really freaking smart. He's incredible and he's amazing. But you're not going to want him to give you nutrition guidance, right? Like, he eats raw chicken. So
you want him on squirrel hunting duty and that's about it.
I'm not sure you would want that either, because he's not real good at that. I'm pretty sure he would just sit in front of the squirrel and say, you want to be friends? Like, he's that dog. He's awesome. But like, there's a huge difference. And when we're talking about health and how your body functions on a fundamental level, nutrition is first before any of the other things. Nutrition is first. Without nutrients, nothing works.
I think this also speaks to the fact that like the system that we have is very backwards. I've actually been doing a bunch of research for adult-like things like long-term care benefits and like life insurance. And I noticed when I was going through the paperwork, there's all these different medical professionals listed that I can use money for to have access to services that I need as I age. A registered dietitian isn't even on there. That blew my mind. Like, you can have a speech therapist and like all these different people, physical therapist, and the support that's received from a dietitian wasn't even on there.
Now, isn't that incredible? Especially when these other ancillary professions are listed, like how many people routinely seek out a speech therapist, right? Like, that's a very specific, nuanced thing. It's usually in young children or in the elderly, right? As we're learning speech or as speech is starting to fade through whatever reasons. But those are nuanced things, and that was listed. But we all eat and we all function on nutrients every single day, because the second you stop functioning on nutrients, you die. Like, that's what happens. Even with this pandemic, and there are so many healthcare heroes who have done phenomenal things, not one time did any, and if you saw it, please tell me, because I didn't anywhere, did any news outlet mention the registered dietitians that are keeping the people on the ventilators fed intravenously so they don't die while their lungs are trying to not drown, right? Like, where's the reference to the dietitians who are doing the work that is allowing the body to do all the other work? Without nutrition, none of the other work matters. Surgery recovery without nutrition doesn't happen. Broken bone recovery without nutrition doesn't happen. Childbirth without nutrition doesn't happen. You know, whatever you're doing in a hospital, without nutrition, it doesn't happen. It's scary. Like you said, it's really freaking scary that this is not on anyone's radar.
Oh, yeah. And I think this also speaks to why so many dietitians do choose private practice, because we don't have the backing of health insurance to do a lot of services and provide the level of expertise and care and absolute epic knowledge. Like, I've talked to dietitians who don't even know that we can order lab testing and that we can use that to support with nutrition. And that blows my mind that we were not even taught that coming up through higher ed in the freaking forever it feels like you're in school, especially if you went on to a master's program, which will soon be required by everyone. It's just mind-blowing. In your opinion, who do you think the most fault lies with in this whole equation?
I feel like this is a sentence we're going to say in every episode. You said it in the first episode. We might get canceled in our first episode. I'm going to add, we might get canceled in our second episode. The fault is multifold, right? But a huge piece of this fault lies with the academy. And I'm just going to say it. I just said it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to stand by it. A huge fault lies with the academy. The academy's job is meant to be our guiding body, our professional representation, our vehicle to growth, our front to the outside world. And I have been a dietitian for, like, on paper, nearly 20 years, in this realm for over 20 years, right? Like, I started my undergrad in 1997. I have been in this field, guided by dietitians as professors and whatnot, for over 20 years. Absolutely not a thing has changed with how our leadership presents us to the world. And it is the main reason that other professions don't know who we are. Go out into the world right now and ask anybody what a surgeon is, and everyone knows, right? Before, it was just doctors. Now we have surgeons, and now we have anesthesiologists, and now we have this, this, and this. We know the nuances of the different types of doctors. Our professional organization has not yet managed to let the world know what our profession is. And I've been in it for over 20 years, and the profession has existed under the academy for over 100 years. This is a problem.
I truly don't know what they do. And we pay a lot of money to this governing body. And the best they've done since I've been a dietitian is they decided, oh, well, we'll just add nutritionist to the end of dietitian to just try to have this more all-encompassing, you know, name to take up the space. And it's like, that's not how it works.
And I'll tell you, actually, because I was, you know, part of this before that was added, I freaking hated with such a unholy passion, because I feel like it just muddied the waters more. Before, we could at least clearly say there's a difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist. Now they're using the title of registered dietitian nutritionist. So we cannot even say anymore nutritionist isn't qualified, because now we have inadvertently called ourselves that. Like, I still refuse to use the RDN. I use the RD. I'm a registered dietitian, period, the end, and forever will be, until they drag me by my feet and say I have to change it. It just muddied the waters. Now people are even more confused.
That's a really valid perspective that I never even thought of until you were like, I refuse. When I was like writing credentials for something, like, nope, I'm just RD. I'm like, okay, got it. Makes a ton of sense though. Makes a ton of sense.
I have strong feelings. Yeah.
I do feel like the academy, like, it's so funny. I went to one of these fencies and there was like this big revolt, and then people, like, I don't know what it's called when you put up flyers. It's almost like a flash dance of flyers. And all of a sudden at a certain time, everyone put up flyers everywhere to boycott some of the stuff the academy was doing. It was so funny. This was at Fency, one of my first years I went. I might have been Chicago. And I mean, it was kind of epic. And there's a reason there's this riff of people either love the academy or they hate the academy. Because what are they really doing for us? Are they actually lobbying for us as professionals? Like, what's happening? We just got a weird logo on some Kraft cheese once. Like, I don't understand.
Well, and every year, Nutrition Month is what? It's exactly the same thing, right? It's like, here's a tote bag, which my grandmother might love, but that's not the people that, do you know what I mean? Like, we're so missing the boat with our representation on reaching the masses. Like, the masses function on TikTok. The masses function on Instagram. The masses are not going to carry a tote bag with a cartoonish drawing of a, you know, of a fruit basket. Like, it's just not going to happen. And it's the same messaging, and it's the same, we're just going to be back here in the shadows that it's been for as long as I've been around. And why do we keep repeating the same cycle of not stepping into our space and saying, we are dietitians. We will no longer tolerate these other imposters trying to do the work that has serious health consequences, and we're going to make all the noise, right? So, like, the fault lies there, but I don't think it's just the academy's fault. Let's be fair here, because there are multiple players in this game, right? Like, I also think the fault lies with us as dietitians. Like, what do you think when I say that?
I mean, I agree. I think not enough of us, and not soon enough, have we started challenging what we're told. and actually using our full expertise and scope of practice. It's almost like, it makes me mad to think about, if I'm being honest. I think you see it a lot with women, and this is a very female dominated field, but it's very just like meek, mild, sit down, do what you're told. And I love seeing all these RDs on Instagram being like, no, I can do it better. And I'm not going to follow the health insurance model. I'm not going to follow the model that's been laid out before me by other dietitians, and I'm going to do it my way. And I love that so much, because if more of us stood up, I think that that's where the true power lies. And also, it's so rigid, right? Like, why does everyone act like, I don't know, they have like this Warren Buffett type attitude, super tight-laced,
stick
and
up
like
their butt.
Super
stick
professional.
Up
yeah.
The butt. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it is, let's call it what it is. That's what it is. Here we are. That's what I'm here for.
But I think that, I think about how you choose people, right? Mm-hmm. I choose to work with someone because I think they're relatable, honest, down to earth. I know that they're going to help me, and I jive with their personality so that I know that they're going to help me through what is going to be something challenging I'm committing to. So mm-hmm. like, I don't feel comfortable, even like my CPA or something, like I don't pick people because they're like super rigid in a suit. I want a human that I trust, that I connect with. And especially when we're helping people make changes in their lives, I think it's important that we start stepping out of this box that the academy said, here, sit here and do this. Like, hell no, that's your responsibility to jump outside that box.
When I love that you just gave the example of the CPA, because that could be like a very just formal transaction, right? Because it's numbers and whatever. And even there, that's not comfortable. And then you take it to something as personal as your food intake. Nobody wants to sit across the table from somebody in a white coat holding a pamphlet and have them tell
you. With plastic food models.
Right? Like, this is what a serving of peas looks like. What? Like, my deciding moment, like my final straw on the camel's back when I was in my internship that determined that I was never, ever going to work in that space, was when I was sent, and I did my internship in Georgia, and it was a wonderful experience, and I met an amazing group of people. I also met my husband my second day in town, so it was kind of meant to be. But this was my experience that kind of derailed me from any potential future of you're going to work in clinical. I was sent to do a diabetic education on a 97-year-old woman who was inpatient for something unrelated. Like, I don't even know why she was there, right? Like, it's the woman was 97 years old, bro. And here I was, you know, young little whippersnapper intern, and I did my master's before I did my internship. So I was probably 23-ish, almost 24. This woman was nearly four times my age. And I was meant to go in there with a pamphlet with my white coat on and tell this woman that she could no longer eat her ding-dongs and ho-hos or whatever it was that she was eating. She's 97. Do you know what I did? I walked in there. I said, I'm the dietitian, just checking in. You doing good? You getting your food here? Everything's amazing? Fantastic. I hope you have an amazing day. I hear you're getting discharged today. That's what I did. And like, I didn't tell my preceptor that. I said, yep, sure, I did that. I was not about to go walk in there and tell a 97-year-old woman that she now was going to start carb counting. Are you freaking kidding me? But those are the regulations, and these are the guidelines, and this is what we're told. And we are essentially told not to function with our own interpretation and common sense in that setting. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the human. Here's the robotic, you said it earlier, response and action that you must follow. Be quiet about it. Don't challenge. Don't question. And then go sit back in your corner.
100%. We have to put the human back in healthcare. And one of these amazing things, right, is there is, yes, there's going to be on paper this nice, scientific, reasonable, evidence-based thing, but that doesn't mean that that's what you need to follow. And you need to be able to have the confidence to know when it's time for me to deviate from this plan and do what's going to be better for the human, because they are not just going to be this robotic thing. And this experience shouldn't be that type of transaction either.
Right. And I love that nuance, right? Like, obviously, we're going to practice evidence-based care. That's what we do. But like you said, let's do that with the nuance of understanding what is realistic for the human on the other side of it. The 97-year-old woman was not going to start carb counting. It was not going to happen. She probably had like 6 months to live, right? Like, it was not going to happen. So the fault, I think, also get back to the point that we were trying to address of like, why is this that nobody knows who we are? The fault also lies with us that, like you said, we're not willing as a whole, as a profession, to step up and claim our expertise, which in most cases is 6+ years of formal education, plus a national exam, plus continuing ed, plus decades of experience, plus ability to see whole picture. And I know we're going to dig into that so much more in future episodes. But despite all of that, we are not willing as a whole to stand up and make noise and say, this is who I am and this is what I do. And if you reduce me to, oh, you do meal plans one more time, I might punch someone. Right?
Yep.
We have to step up. We have to be willing to make noise. And we have to not be afraid to also have somebody push back on that, because it's okay. Not everyone has to understand. But just because they don't understand doesn't diminish the reality of who we are.
Yeah. And I was just going to say is like, it is really hard to do that. Anytime you're stepping into a very public arena like social media, even if it's just you're building your virtual practice and you're not speaking out for the profession on a bigger level. Anytime you do that, you're opening yourself up to criticism, haters, trolls, whatever you want to call them. Someone's going to get mad. Not everyone is going to like you, but it's important that we do it because our underlying values should be more important.
Yes, because what's the impact if you're not executing on what you're trained? None of us got into nutrition originally because it was going to make us rich. None of us. We all had some sort of pull toward the science is incredible. The things we can do to support the human body and quality of life and joy of life and all of those things and medical needs is incredible. But if you're not executing on that because you're scared to make noise, then you're useless. I mean, that's the bottom line of it. You're useless if you're not willing to step up and use the skill that you have because someone might look at you sideways.
I 100% agree.
I also think though, so we said, you know, it's the academy that's at fault. It's us that's at fault. And that's on us because we're within the profession. But I'm also going to put a piece of this on the consumer. Because I think consumers are more than happy to put on blinders from who the legitimate resource is, because they would prefer to go with the quote unquote easier route of a quick fix from some weird celebrity input, right? Like if they can pretend that they're, or not even celebrity, their trainer at their gym, right? If they can pretend that the meal replacement smoothie shakes that their trainer at the gym is pushing this month are going to be the solution, they are more than happy to disregard that this is a legitimate science and that there are legitimate professionals practicing the science. So the consumer is also to blame because that's what they choose to do instead of digging in.
Yeah, and I think also most people are chasing shiny objects. It's like, well, this super famous fit-looking person said that all I got to do is this for 30 days. Bam. Like, that's just not how it works. And then I think that most people truly deep down know that, but they just keep blind themselves and chasing these quick fixes and these short-term solutions because it's easier.
It's human nature, right? Like if I could do this the quick and simple way and just kid myself for a minute, why would I put in long time and effort to do it the legitimate way, right? Even though we end up in the same spot and then we do it again in 6 months, but it's human nature, I think.
I would love to poll people just to see, like truly you're not, I guess it wouldn't work on Instagram because people know we're dietitians and we speak loudly about that all the time. But truly, do people know the difference? And do they understand that legally we're the nutrition expert and we're the only ones who can provide a lot of things like macronutrients, considerations, actual meal plans? Like there are certain things legally we can do, someone else can't. I don't know if most people even know that.
I don't think they do. But again, this to me goes back to the academy, right? Because that's a national education issue. Like I think most people know that your gym teacher cannot perform open heart surgery. Like I think people know these things. But people don't know that your gym teacher cannot give nutrition guidance. Why? Because the impact, the medical impact is significant in both cases, right? Maybe not as abrupt and sudden as your gym teacher cutting you open for open heart surgery. That would be a very abrupt detriment, right? The nutrition detriment may take longer, but it still exists. And we know as a collective, our country has massive nutrition-related health concerns. Why are we not openly screaming from every rooftop, we, hello, academy, this is who the professional is, and not in the quiet, demure, let's do a pamphlet. Nobody reads pamphlets. This is probably my bottom line issue with the academy. Stop freaking sending pamphlets. Like this is 2022. Like in what decade did we last look at a freaking pamphlet? Get on TikTok, get on Instagram. You know, the people that are making noise and shaking up the profession, it's the people like you and I that are willing to step up on a social media platform and sometimes make fools of ourselves by doing, you know, voiceover TikToks and reels and whatever, and it is what it is. But that's the only way that even, you know, a small minority of the public knows who dietitians are. It's not because they got a pamphlet from the freaking academy. It's not because they were in the hospital and got formal education on who a dietitian is. It's because they saw one on the internet.
Yeah, I think it's so bureaucratic and archaic and rigid. If my only exposure to registered dietitians was what the academy does, I wouldn't want to work with them either.
Right?
Like, I'm being 100% honest.
That's no joke. Actually, it's a really solid point. And I don't know how you, we've never talked about how you, or maybe we haven't, I don't know. You'll have to tell us that story one day, but like how you started on this path to becoming a dietitian. Mine had nothing to do with clinical dietitians. Mine was a book I found by Nancy Clark, shout out, one of my favorite sports dietitians, you know, the OG. And it was something that I found through personal experience of like my personal life was affected. But you're right. If I was first introduced to a dietitian with a pamphlet in the hospital while I was there for something else and was told that I needed to start counting my servings of peas, I would have been like, who is this clown and why would I want to work with this person?
I was introduced through a neurologist who took like a holistic, more functional, integrative approach. And I started using nutrition in a functional, integrative way to help with migraines and other stuff that was going on post-concussion. So like that was my first exposure, which is so fitting because now it's really come full circle that like that's how I found out that this was even a real profession. And I started studying it. And so, and now it's interesting, like I've started to do more integrative, functional, and very much see the value in that. And so I'm forever grateful to that person. But I didn't know what to do with nutrition. I didn't even know it was a profession. You know, I was just confused and very sick and had a lot of migraines and stuff. And then she was like, yeah, this is a thing. And I started taking classes on it. And I remember I showed up when I transferred into Virginia Tech to their dietetics program. I didn't understand how much education it was. And so I was like, oh, I'll just transfer my credits over. Boom, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to be a dietitian. And then it was like, no. Mm-mm. You're going to be here a long, long time because you got to do a lot more science than what you previously had. And then you're going to have to go do an internship where you pay them to work. You don't get paid. And then you're going to have to sit for this crazy exam that's actually very challenging.
Yeah.
And I was like, I cried. I walked out of that office and I cried. And I was like, I really want to do this. My heart is in it. But I didn't understand how much education actually went into becoming this as a profession.
Now, just look at that. Like, as a person who was getting ready to, you know, impart on this path, you didn't even know. How the hell do we expect the public to understand how much of our time and value and life has gone into this? Like, blood, sweat, and tears, right? For all of us. Gone into this to become these credentialed professionals. And then Gwyneth Paltrow can come up with some stupid product and put it on some stupid magazine and nobody knows we exist.
Because she makes supplements and stuff. Like I just, a lot of this is just this weird gray area and I'm not about it. And I think that like truly, in my opinion, it boils down to us as dietitians, we have to make noise so that we get the academy to move and we get consumers to understand. Like if I had to give my bird's eye view opinion on it.
And I agree. And I think that is what's happening in very, you know, microscopic little movements, again, through the internet. Thank goodness for social media. I know a lot of people hate social media, but I feel like this is a beautiful thing that's coming out of social media. And that also people are stepping up and are more willing to explore food-related approaches to dealing with things like you just said with, you know, I'm having this functional problem and there's got to be a solution. And, you know, they're seeking those things out. But I think for most people, this isn't something on their radar until they're specifically faced with a difficulty and they're seeking it out, or they happen to come across one of us on social and suddenly, you know, their eyes are open. But I agree with you. We have to make noise. We can't wait for the academy to do it because I've waited for 20 years and here we are. We can't wait for other professionals to do it. But when I then say we have to make noise, it's noise toward the consumer, but also noise to other professionals. Continuously reiterating, this is who we are. And no, it is not the same as your Aunt Susie who sells, you know, an MLM supplement.
Exactly. Mic drop. I'm here for it. Before we wrap up this episode, you have a lot of really exciting things coming down the pipeline for other dietitians. What is going on in your world?
I do. We actually have a bunch of stuff coming up. So this is going to air May, right? So the month of June this year, we actually have our first program for other RDs running. It's going to be super exciting. I'm not going to give you the details yet. You're going to have to hop on over to social to see that. But if you follow my Instagram at your fitness dietitian, and you all know how to spell dietitian, so I will not spell it for you, at your fitness dietitian, find me on Instagram. I'm going to be talking about that in May, so you can join that. We're also going to do the next round of the Realigned Dietitian Mastermind, which is, if you're not familiar, all about building your business the way you want to. It's not the Academy's career. It is also not, you know, your friend, the RD's career. It's yours. How do you want to build it? That's what we do in the Realigned Dietitian Mastermind. So that's starting again in July. We're going to start enrolling again in June. So that's what's coming up on my side of the Instagram world. But Brooke, you're also doing some cool stuff for other dietitians. Tell me what you got going on in the next couple months.
I am. So I have two openings for business intensives and for Voxer coaching. And the business intensive is really about, I'm thinking about starting a practice. I want to go into private practice. I want to do virtual, but I have no idea what to do and where to start. And so it's digging in and giving someone step-by-step all the things they're going to need to know to get a business off the ground and really step into their life as an entrepreneur, because it's very different. We weren't taught those things in school. And Voxer coaching is great. I know that you offer this as well. It's just having someone essentially like how we are. We have our iMessage and we'll text and voice text. It's essentially having that access to have someone that you need for support becoming a dietitian entrepreneur.
I love it. I love it. Especially the piece about getting started, because that's daunting, I think, for a lot of folks, because like you said, business ownership is not, of all the things we're taught, the most important piece of how to run your career, we are not taught. And I know this is how you and I both started our businesses, how we set up our businesses. And you just need to start. And then if you want to accelerate that process, you do it under the guidance of somebody who's been there, who knows what they're doing. So exciting stuff coming up for both of us, I think.
Awesome. Yay. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Make sure to check out the show notes and follow us on Instagram. Please let us know what you thought of the episode. We would love to hear your thoughts on what's going on with the Academy and dietitians really stepping into their power as medical professionals.
Love it. And we can't wait to have you guys listen in next time, but give us feedback. Tell us your thoughts. It's great fodder for new conversation.
Absolutely. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Embodied CEO podcast. To connect with me, Brooke, you can find me on Instagram at westnutrition.co, and you can visit my website, westnutrition.co.
And to connect with me, Kirsten, head on over to Instagram and look for Your Fitness Dietitian, or head to yourfitnessdietitian.com on the web.
Make sure to follow, subscribe, and share the Embodied CEO podcast.
And now go out there and disrupt that status quo.